Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
It was
I'm
night
just
before.
All Christmassy.
Yes,
I'm
I know.
Like all Christmassy.
I know. I can't wait to open
my
presents.
Elf hat on and
oh no.
I'm waiting for Santa. I'm waiting for Messiah.
That's right.
But for you little kids that are waiting for Santa, that's cute too. But this show's not gonna be about Santa.
It's not?
No.
No reindeer?
No. It's not gonna be Miracle on 34th Street. It's gonna be Miracle in Bethlehem.
No, It's a Wonderful Life?
Nope.
None of that?
No, although that's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
At least it's better than most of the movies you see nowadays.
Yeah. Has a better plot line.
Anyway, so here we are, a couple days before Christmas.
Not a creature.
Not even
stirring.
A couple of days.
No,
yeah. Yeah. Like 24 hours till Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
So.
Do you have all your.
We're exciting.
Is your house ready?
Not quite. I'll have to do my Christmas shopping tomorrow. I don't like to do things at the last minute, but nothing's open the night of the 24th, so I have to do it in the morning.
Not yet, anyway.
Yeah. Even the 25th, things will be open pretty soon.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The rate we're going.
At this holiday season. So I hope you've all been fighting the battle of holiday versus Christmas. Or I should say Christmas versus holiday. But anyway, we're going to get into that a little bit. Maybe we should talk about that first.
What's that, Christmas and holidays?
How did Christmas ever get to be on December 25th? Was Jesus born on the December 25th?
Well, evidence shows probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
But let's go back to the time of Jesus's birth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think about the culture back then, you had the length of the day in light and darkness,
right,
was how time was told.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we see that all through Scripture, like for the time of prayer, the third hour, the sixth mm-hmm. hour, and so forth. So that was how time was told. There wasn't lights like we have lights now, where we can just, you know, we can stay up till midnight, 1, 2, 3. We can stay up 24 hours a day and have light with electricity, mm-hmm. thanks to Mr. Edison.
Mm-hmm. Who will be our guest next week? Oh, no.
We just have bigger electric. Think about that. They did not have electric bills back then.
That's right.
No utilities.
Yeah, but on the other hand, after Kentucky, you couldn't do much.
That's right. And people were probably a lot more well-rested.
They got much more sleep.
Yes, and not so strung out.
If you ever tried to read by candlelight or in front of a fireplace, it's very hard on your eyes.
Yes.
So you just went to bed.
You wanted to ruin your eyesight.
Yeah.
Read by the candle. That was. But anyway, so as after Jesus's birth and, you know, the first apostles and the disciples, when the church started looking at the time of celebrating the birth of Jesus, you were still telling time by the length of how much light there was, how much darkness there was, and the days in the summertime were longer. There was more light from Christmas, you know, really from the winter equinox to the summer equinox or the solstice. The length of the day increased, the amount of light increased, mm-hmm. and then from the summer solstice back to the winter solstice, the amount of light throughout the day decreased. So, and it also goes to the celebrating the feast of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ, and he said, "I must decrease, he must increase," mm-hmm. referring to himself as decreasing, and that Christ, the Messiah, the Lamb of God, must increase.
Right.
Because he was not the Christ, mm-hmm. but the one coming after him was.
Mm-hmm.
So the church set up that from the summer solstice, since the length of days or the light that was in the day was getting shorter, was decreasing, they would celebrate the feast of John the Baptist
mm-hmm.
in June,
mm-hmm.
and then they would celebrate the birth of Christ at the winter solstice because the light, mm-hmm. the length of day would increase mm-hmm. up through then.
Yeah.
So in the eyes and in the minds of human beings at that time, that made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So
Constantine liked it. Let's not get into that.
Was he around then? I don't know if he was around when they hammered all this out, but that's basically the understanding of why mm-hmm. we celebrate what we celebrate in the manner that we do. And you know, I think the important thing is that we're acknowledging one of the greatest events in human history, mm-hmm. in all of creation, mm-hmm. that the Son of God was born of a virgin, mm-hmm. born under the law to mm-hmm. deliver, born of the law to deliver those who were under the law mm-hmm. into freedom.
Amen.
You know, so mm-hmm. that's what we're celebrating. Mm-hmm. We're not celebrating a tree. We're not that's celebrating right. any of this other stuff.
Right.
But we're celebrating, well, there's probably mm-hmm. people that are celebrating some other things, but we who believe are mm-hmm. celebrating the birth of our Savior.
Right.
And we acknowledge that.
Right.
And we celebrate that. And if you listen to the show last week, you know, rejoice, daughter of Zion, mm. for salvation has come to
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're in a prison cell and the guard comes and says, I'm opening the door, you're free. Are you going to go, oh, you know, I was just ready to take a nap. Yeah. I'd like to stay here longer. You would be out of there faster than your feet can hit the floor.
That's right. That's right.
And you would be jumping up and down.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And that's that's the reality of being set free.
That's what he did.
By the Messiah.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because of those, in those days you talked about when the feast was set then, it was a time of celebration and pagan festivals in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always tell people, you know, this time of year started out as a pagan festival. And mm-hmm. now in our time, in our lifetime, it's gone back to being a pagan festival where we decorate, we eat, we drink, we buy presents, mm-hmm. we party. And we're not allowed to say why we're partying because we call it holiday.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to call it Christmas, but
you
we don't want to rehash all the Christmas wars, but you know, if you look, in fact, I was just telling a friend of mine today at lunch, you know, if you look in Romans chapter 2, it talks about how as you go through your life and your sins accumulate, you build up wrath.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in our country, by doing this to Christmas has just built up the wrath that's going to come against it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just digging our hole deeper.
Yeah.
But we're making our account bigger, mm-hmm. however you want to look at it.
Yeah.
So we've asked God to leave our society. We have 50 some million abortions. We've embraced all kinds of perversion and pornography and entertainment and all these things. And now, hey, we can't have this Christmas thing. We'll just call it holiday.
Yeah.
And we're digging our hole deeper.
And we can't individually think that this doesn't affect us. Because cumulatively, it does have an effect.
Sure.
You know, if a member of the body sins, it affects the whole body.
Exactly.
You know, we're not immune from it.
That's right.
And a lot of Western culture has forgotten what it is to be a tribe, a nation of people. And individualism is so much it really hampers in our culture how we understand and relate to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And as believers, because if we're so individualistic, even in our own faith, and we don't understand community and being a member of the body, as Paul talks about in all the epistles,
yes,
then we miss a whole mm-hmm. understanding of what it means to walk with each other, be patient with each other, have long suffering with each other, and not rush to judgment and, you know, mm-hmm. condemn each other.
Right. Now we communicate electronically.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I think I'll send Steve an email.
Yes. Yeah, I'll text you back here. Because it's just a lot easier, because every time I talk to you, just on and on about stuff that doesn't even matter. No, I'm only joking.
Anyway, here we are at Christmas. If you haven't bought me a present yet, it's okay.
Oops, I better text you. Cause I didn't.
Anyway, we we've been kind of talking about Isaiah quite a bit over the last 3 or 4 weeks. And before we go on, there's one really interesting thing. You know, we talked about how last week we talked about how the zeal of the Lord of hosts was going to do these things, and the rod of the taskmaster was going to be smashed, and the burden was going to be smashed, and the burden of sin, the burden of the law was going to be smashed. And I kind of like in Isaiah chapter 9, actually in the first verse, it says, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in the Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Now, Galilee was in the north of Israel. The people who lived in the main part of Israel, which was Judah, thought the people that lived in Galilee were a bunch of backwoods Yehus, and it was kind of like a backwater place. That's why Nathaniel says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And they had Samaria between the two that they couldn't even walk through.
Yeah.
And this was the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. And they lived up there surrounded by all these Gentile nations. And so they were influenced by them. So they walked in darkness. They were influenced by these surrounding Gentiles. They had the shadow of death. And it says, upon them a light's going to shine.
Wow.
Which is pretty neat. Because later on, that prophecy is going to be fulfilled in Matthew chapter 4, where it says Jesus went to dwell in Capernaum, which is right in the middle of this area, which is pretty neat. And he's going to live, he's going to do like, I don't know what percentage of his ministry it was in Galilee, maybe 3/4 of it.
Yeah, a good amount.
Yeah, in Galilee rather than in Judah, rather than in Jerusalem, because he lived in Capernaum. And it says, you know, there's a shadow of death over all these people, and we live in the shadow of death because we all live in sin.
Yeah.
And then it says a great light's going to shine on them. So these people who were living in this Galilee of the Gentiles, although they were Jews, they were so influenced by Gentiles that they called it the Galilee of the Gentiles. This light of the Messiah was going to shine on them. And like we live in this darkness of sin, the light of the gospel shines on us.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden we say, wow, this is awesome. We have joy of the Messiah. We have the joy of the Spirit because that yoke and that burden are broken.
Yeah. And you know, when, as you're saying that, I'm thinking about what Zechariah prophesies after John the Baptist is born.
That's awesome.
Because it's right along with what you're talking about. And it's in Luke chapter 1. Yeah, Luke chapter 1. And this is starting at verse 68. He says, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has visited and brought redemption to his people. He has raised up a horn for our salvation within the house of David, his servant, even as he promised through the mouths of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the land or from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to be mindful of his holy covenant and of the oath he swore to Abraham, our father, and to grant us that, rescued from the hand of enemies, without fear we might worship him in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the daybreak from on high will visit us.
Yeah.
To shine on those who sit in darkness and death's shadow, and to guide our feet into the path of peace.
Yeah.
You know, so that darkness.
This is in the New Testament. And fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy.
Yeah. You know, that light coming to those who are in this shadow of death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's going to be, John the Baptist, we're not going to do the whole story of Zechariah, so that's a cool story. And the lesson of it is you don't get Gabriel. Ooh. Even when I go to heaven, when I see Gabriel, I'm going to say, hi, Gabriel, I'll do whatever you want me to do, and don't get mad at me. But anyway, now
silence.
Now he's mad at me already.
Yes, he'll be.
But, you know, he...
I think he just moved up to the front line.
he becomes the Elijah-like figure. Because, you know, in the book of Malachi, it's not Malachi,
it's not Malachi?
No.
Okay.
He's not the Italian prophet.
Okay.
In the book of Malachi, you know, it says that Elijah's going to come before the Messiah. mm-hmm. you know, mentions Elijah, who of course was the great prophet. And when they asked Jesus about this, they said, you know, we're a little confused here because it says in the prophet Malachi that Elijah's going to come. Jesus says to him, well, he was here and you didn't recognize him. And then they realized he was talking about John the Baptist because he's going to be the herald.
Yeah.
And he's going to be the one announcing. And he's going to be, you know, despite the fact you wouldn't want to have Christmas dinner with him, he's going to be the one that's going to say, here's the Messiah. Sure. Here's the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
He's, you know, all the other prophets said, talked about Messiah, prophesied what Messiah was going to do with basically a time frame of someday this is going to happen. At some time, this is going to happen. You know, in the fullness of time, this is going to happen. In other words, might be 100 years, might be 500 years, might be 1,000 years. Whereas John the Baptist looks at Jesus across the river and says, here he comes. That's him there.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
Exactly. Which is another connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Because had you been standing there, and you would have heard John the Baptist say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, you would have looked at him and said, what? What'd he say?
Yeah.
What do you mean, Lamb of God? What do you mean, take away the sins of the world?
Yeah.
That's a guy walking into the river.
Yeah.
But John the Baptist, you know, regardless of, you know, I can't get over the fact of what he had for lunch, but, you know, regardless of what he ate.
Chocolate-covered grasshoppers. Come on, dude.
And regardless of him being a pretty weird-looking guy, I mean.
Just because he had a camel hair cloak, you know. Well, it was kind of a coat.
And wild-looking hair. And,
well, it's kind of like a half coat. You know?
Man, if you'd have seen this guy, you'd have said, dude, go take a shower, change your clothes. But anyway, he connects the two covenants. You know, he's kind of another one of those pivot points like Paul is, where he's kind of an Old Testament figure, but he's in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. He's Elijah looking. Jesus says he was Elijah. Now, that doesn't mean he was Elijah reincarnated.
Right.
But he was Elijah-like.
Right.
Dressed the same, talked the same, was weird looking. Can't get over this weird looking thing. But anyway, sorry, John. But anyway,
you're going to have a long line of people to talk to before you get to the kingdom.
I'm going to be in disguise. I'm going to tell them my name's Stephen Garchar.
They
won't know who I am. But anyway, you know, he says, here's the Lamb of God, because he knows about the sacrifices. He knows about the blood atonement. He knows about sin being taken away. He knows all these things because he's the great prophet who knows the word. Whoa.
Ooh,
first
here
break
comes.
Already.
Here comes Paul.
Yeah, remember, givethegraceministries.org. Let's listen to Paul Wilbur. We'll be right back.
He has come to bring light into the darkness. He has come bring freedom to the captives. He has come to restore the brokenhearted. It's time to proclaim the year of the Lord. Prepare the way. Oh,
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
Who was singing that?
I don't know. I don't know.
That's an awesome song.
No, that was Paul Wilbur. Wilburministries.com. He's the only one who gets free advertising. He's the only one who gets any advertising. Anyway. So, you know, sometimes we talk and make jokes about major prophets and minor prophets. And last week we talked about how Zephaniah only had three chapters, but they weren't dopey chapters. They were action-packed chapters. Oh. And there's another minor prophet named Micah. And Micah's known for one really, really important prophecy. He's a minor prophet. You know, he didn't really
that is true.
Write a lot of stuff. But he's quoted in the New Testament quite a bit. He's quoted in Matthew especially, and I think in Luke too. But the prophet Micah has one really big prophecy. And Steve, why don't you talk about that or read about that a little bit?
Okay, from Micah chapter 5.
Yeah.
Thus says the Lord, you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too small to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient times. Therefore the Lord will give them up until the time when she who is to give birth has born, and the rest of his kindred shall return to the children of Israel. He shall stand firm and shepherd his flock by the strength of the Lord, in the majestic name of the Lord his God, and they shall remain. For now his greatness shall reach to the ends of the earth. He shall be peace.
Ooh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Wow.
See, Micah, nice job there. I don't care how minor you are, that was a good job.
Doesn't matter, large or small, greater, small.
I mean, here we are, Bethlehem, which, by the way, means house of bread in Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, Jesus is born in a place which is called the house of bread.
Yeah.
And he says that he's the bread come down from heaven. And he says he's the living bread.
Yeah.
So he's born in a place called the house of bread. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it's bread that gives life.
Yeah, he tells the, who did he say, your fathers ate manna in the desert?
And they died.
And they died.
But if you eat this bread, you're never going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are, this little town. I mean, obviously, this was a really little town. It says it was too small to even like be in the clans of Judah.
You notice how God works like with very small things?
Very small things.
We talked about Gideon a couple weeks ago about
remnants.
Know, went down to remnants. And,
Now, Bethlehem was important because David was from there. King David was from Bethlehem, and Jesus Messiah is the son of David. That's one of his messianic titles, and he is, in fact, descended from David. And in this small town that King David came from, he that's going to be ruler in Israel is going to come. Now, David came from there. He was ruler in Israel. Jesus comes from there. He's ruler in Israel. But look at the next part, whose origin is of old, from ancient times.
Yeah.
Okay, he doesn't have an origin.
Yeah.
Always has been. But this is, you know, back to this concept of the Ancient of Days and the everlasting. And his origin is from something that they can't comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
They knew David, you know, his father was Jesse, and right. I forget who his mother was, but, you know, they knew, everybody knew who David's parents were.
Right.
But this ruler in Israel was going to be from ancient. His origin is from ancient times, from old. And David started out as a shepherd. He was a young boy. He was a shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Here, this person, this man, is going to stand firm and shepherd his flock.
Yeah.
By the strength of the Lord, by the majestic name of the Lord. So in the name of the Lord, he's going to shepherd his flock. And it's going to reach to the ends of the earth,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So this is going to be, you know, you see here this kind of a parallel with David, shepherd, ruler in Israel. Mm-hmm. Guys, David, pretty much of a mess, but he's a man after God's own heart
and
does this stuff. Now, from the same town, little town, you know, reminds me of a Christmas song, Little Town of Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. So there's this little town of Bethlehem. Let's go Christmas.
That's where they got that from.
Yeah. So anyway, from this little town comes this ruler of Israel who's from of old, and he's going to stand firm and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, and it's going to reach to the end of the earth,
mm-hmm.
which includes us.
Yeah.
So us dopey Gentiles living in Ohio get to be part of the flock.
Wasn't that the Galatians, the dopey Galatians?
Yeah, but we're dopey Gentiles.
Okay.
So we get to be part of the flock that he shepherds. Now, David would have never in a million years dreamed that he was going to shepherd a flock that, well, he didn't know about Ohio, but even that would have included, you know, Lebanon or someplace nearby.
It would include Cleveland?
He would have had no concept of Ohio.
No.
But here we have a flock, which is the whole kingdom. It's the kingdom of Messiah. He's the shepherd of the whole flock. He's ruler of Israel. And the cool thing is, again, going back to one of my favorites, Isaiah in chapter 9, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this."
Mm-hmm.
So now this shepherd, this king, this ruler in Israel, he's going to be a little different than David because he's going to sit on David's throne symbolically, but his kingdom's never going to end.
Yeah.
His government's never going to end. He's going to be there for judgment and justice.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you come to me and repent and make me your savior, you're going to have grace and mercy.
Mm-hmm.
You reject me and do your own life and do whatever you want to do, you're going to get judgment and justice.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to get injustice. Some people are going to get justice and some people are going to get grace and mercy. Mm-hmm. And there's not going to be an end to this.
Right.
It's going to go from that time forward even forever.
Yeah.
So billions and billions of years from now, after John the Baptist is done yelling at me and Peter's done yelling at me and they're kind of used to me being there and billions of years from now, he's still going to be sitting on the throne ruling everything.
Trillions of years.
Trillions of years. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Nobody's going to do it. He's going to do it himself. Emmanuel, who was with us, is now going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you talk about that there will be no end, you know, for all of eternity.
Yeah.
You know, eternity is not eternity is a concept that I think that, not that eternity is a concept.
Yeah.
We can't grasp what eternity really is.
Right.
Is
sure
because we live in a finite world,
mm-hmm.
and you know we have all these
we're thinking about the next minute.
Yeah, the next minute, and thinking, you know, an hour. Oh gosh, this is so long. Yeah. I got.
Is it dinner time yet?
isn't the worship service over yet? I mean, we've been here for 45 minutes already. Come on, jeez. Actually, the worship service should go for about 3 hours. I think
that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. But, you know, to think about eternity, like you're saying, a billion years. Well, what about a trillion years?
Yeah.
You know, like, what about 100 trillion years?
Yeah.
Can we even imagine that? I mean, that's a long, long time.
Those guys aren't going to be on to me that whole time, are they?
And we're going to be singing God's praises
yeah.
all that time.
And I'll even be able to sing.
And we won't even have to rest. I wonder if we'll have to rest.
I don't think
probably
so.
Probably not.
No. Just kind of walk around.
Do 24/7.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the whole, yeah, I mean, thinking about eternity is just, it's, you know.
Yeah.
Forever is, how do you grasp forever?
Yeah. It's never going to end.
Yeah.
It's forever and ever, even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And back in last week, we talked about Isaiah 7:14 about the virgin's going to be with child. You know, at that, when Isaiah writes down that prophecy, it's in the future. It says yeah. the virgin will be with child, will conceive, will mm-hmm. bear a son.
Yeah.
But now in this passage, it says, for unto us a child is born. So it's a certain thing. Mm-hmm. You know, the eternal word's going to transcend time. And to us, it's going to say like, well, a future time, the Lord's going to come. But now it says he's born. He's here.
Yeah.
It transcends time. So this almighty, glorious God becomes a child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it says his origins are of old. You know, you may know the term the Ancient of Days.
Right.
You know, the Ancient of Days becomes an infant in time. Just mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. Becomes an infant. We've yeah. all seen infants. Totally helpless.
Yeah.
I mean, an infant, if you take an infant and leave it out in the woods, in a day or two, he's going to be dead.
Yeah.
They're totally helpless.
It's always struck me as how awesome God's plan is, because here is the God of all creation
mm-hmm.
being born as a defenseless, helpless yeah. infant.
Yes.
Who could not take care of himself.
Totally dependent on his mother.
Yeah.
And his foster father, Joseph.
To be fed, to be raised.
Yes.
And nurtured.
Yeah.
It's like when you think of the majesty of God and the sovereignty of God,
mm-hmm.
then you think of him being born as a helpless, defenseless child to be mm-hmm. raised by the hands of humans.
Right.
It's like, right. Wow. That's
in his divine nature, everything was created by him and through him and for him.
Mm-hmm.
He could have created a new galaxy if he wanted to.
Yeah.
But now he was a helpless infant
mm-hmm.
who all he could do was cry.
Yeah.
All he could do was kick and do things that babies do.
Yeah.
It's a matter of the fulfillment of all these prophecies and what Jesus will say when he's grown up, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's this thing, this amazing thing that happens where the creator becomes this helpless infant, as we're saying. And Paul writes in Colossians that the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him.
Yeah.
So here's this little manger, you know, a straw, it's probably dirty, probably a little smelly.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a newborn baby, a woman who had just given birth who was probably exhausted.
Yeah.
Her husband saying, wow, she had the baby and here's the baby and, you know, now what are we going to do? And Paul writes that the fullness of the Godhead is dwelling in this baby.
Yeah. And you know, you think of in the womb, the fullness of God dwelt in the womb of a virgin.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So when Gabriel came to Mary and said, hail, full of grace,
mm-hmm.
you know, wow, it's those words.
Yeah.
You know, she really was full of God's grace.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
literally.
Literally. I mean, it wasn't just, okay, this is a child.
Yeah.
We're talking about Jesus, the Son of God,
yeah,
who is God.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's the fullness of the Godhead.
Yeah.
It isn't like a little bit God, a little bit man,
yeah,
or 50-50 or, you know, 20-80. It's the fullness of the Godhead, fully human.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do anything.
Yeah.
Now, he has to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And just like You know, you remember in the book of Exodus where Moses says to God, I want to see your glory. And God says, oh, no, you can't. Mm-hmm. You can't see my glory and live. He just gets to see the back part of them. You know, now you see the whole glory of God in a little baby. And when they take him to the temple 40 days later, the prophet Simeon says, this is the glory of Israel and the light to the Gentiles. And this is glory in this little baby. And it's so mind-boggling that it makes you wonder why, if you are a believer, why in the world would you be doing all this holiday stuff with reindeer and snowmen? And it's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, you know, you're talking about Simeon in the temple. Obviously, this is after Jesus is born and they're presenting him in the temple. But Simeon says, you know, and this is out of Luke chapter 2, verse 29, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel.
Yeah.
You know, and this just comes out of Simeon. And he says this, and he, because the Holy Spirit told him that he would not die until he saw the salvation of God.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so he's saying, now you can let your servant go in peace.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So here's this baby who all these prophecies have been about, all the things in the Torah, the prophets, the wisdom literature have all pointed to. Gabriel has talked with Zechariah. He's talked with Mary.
Conversation with Mary went a little better.
A little better.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was very nice to Mary, actually.
Yes, he was.
Then, as these things went on, everything pointed to this. Mm-hmm. And now here it was in the most unbelievable circumstances. Not born in the temple, not born in some palace, not born in, you know, some luxury hotel in the middle of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Not born in some golden building somewhere.
Yeah.
But in these most humble circumstances, in a place that animals lived, shepherds worked, you know, shepherds were kind of, you know, low level people.
Yeah.
And nobody really had that much respect for shepherds. They weren't even allowed to testify in court. And in the middle of this, the Messiah is born.
Yeah.
To this simple young woman who is just probably, you know, it says she pondered all these things and kept them in her heart. I mean, that's probably really kind of understating what she was thinking.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Because no one could even comprehend such a thing.
Yeah.
It's hard enough, you know, when a woman and her husband are in the hospital and they've just had a baby, and you look at the baby and say, wow, I have a baby.
Yeah.
Who is this person? Wow. And then the baby grows up and, you know, here's my son. And but this was a different situation.
Yeah.
This was a time where they looked at this baby. Mary says, well, wait a minute. You know, the angel told me that the Holy Spirit, he's Emmanuel, God with us. He's going to take the throne of his father David. He's going to rule forever. And here he is.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling.
It is. It is. It really is. And, you know, as you're saying that, it's, it is mind-boggling. I'm having a hard time trying to put this into words.
Yeah. It's not something you can get your hands around.
No. It's God's design, and it's God's grace, and you know, if you do think about it, with as we're describing it, he emptied himself to become one of us.
Yes,
he emptied himself from all the riches of God's kingdom, all the glory that he shared with the Father, to become one of us.
Yes,
and you know, you, when you think about it in those terms of, you know, the Ancient of Days, or you know, the one from of old, the Ancient of Days, he was before, Jesus told somebody, I was before.
Before Abraham was, I am.
Yeah, before Abraham was, I am. And, you know, I wonder what the disciples thought of that.
Before Abraham, the Pharisees thought of it.
Yeah, well, yeah. Before Abraham, I was. Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. You were?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Weren't you born of Mary and Joseph?
Yeah. Well, a lot of times people said, well, we know his father and mother. Why is he talking like this?
Yeah. So it was just so inconceivable for them to wrap their minds around this.
Paul's last back. Break. Wow. We'll be back in a minute. This is the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
To him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb, be wisdom, honor, and the power. Amen. The Spirit and the bride say, come, come to the
listening to the Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Gift of Grace on The Word 1220, the last segment of the Christmas show.
That is an awesome song.
That is an awesome song. And you know, Steve and I were talking during the break, and we both thought that it would be kind of important to say that sometimes when we're doing this show, after many, many hours of rehearsal, actually about 14 seconds of rehearsal.
Yeah, really.
We sometimes get so overwhelmed by the things that we're saying and the things that the Lord reveals to us and that aren't in our notes and that just kind of
flow out of the conversation.
We literally are speechless at times.
We're stammering around for words here.
When you try to comprehend these things, it's just really beyond, there's nothing that you can really say about it. And this is one of those events that you really can't say anything about.
Yeah. I mean, you can talk about it. You can try and explain it. But as we're, as Phil and I are sitting here talking about it, we're, sometimes the Lord just reveals it to you in a deeper sense and you're just left speechless. Yeah. And I can tell I'm stammering around for words. Like I have no words that can describe what I'm understanding right now, and that's just the awesomeness and the majesty of God.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go again.
Here we go again.
You know, what else? What else do you? How do you describe it?
You know, as we talk about this plan of salvation going through the whole Scripture, you think this period of time that we call Advent, mm-hmm. you know, literally starts in the Book of Genesis, and after all this long period of time,
yeah,
now comes to the end point of it with the birth of Jesus the Messiah.
Yeah.
That is a long period of time. Mm-hmm. We're now technically in the second Advent, which started right. after he left, right. because he said, well, I'm going to come back. And the angel said to those right. guys, well, you know, you don't have to stand here and start, yeah. you know, keep looking up because you're going to see him come back. And so now we're waiting for him to come back. We're yeah. waiting for the second coming, as it's called. We're in the second Advent.
And it's important that, you know, in the hustle and bustle that we create in our culture about Christmas and the holidays and, you know, in our secular society, yeah, we want the shopping and the profits and all that stuff. But as believers and even, you know, as disciples, we're called to proclaim the birth of the Messiah, to mm-hmm. proclaim the good news of the gospel.
Yes.
And it's important that in the hustle and bustle of our daily lives, that we don't miss our visitation.
Yes.
Because Israel missed their visitation, and their house was left desolate.
Yeah.
You know, that's the reality of what we face here.
Yes.
You know, we're talking about the joyful birth of the Messiah, but at the same time, we have to be awake. We have to be sober. Yes. We have to be prepared and ready that we don't miss the visitation. We don't miss that encounter with the Lord because
right.
it's important.
Mm-hmm.
It's critically important.
Yeah. Like the parable of the 10 virgins, you know,
yeah.
5 have the oil, 5 don't. Oh, here he comes.
You know, and when Jesus comes back the second time, he's not going to come as a cute little baby.
No.
He's coming as a just judge.
He's not coming as a suffering servant.
Right. He's going to rule the nations with an iron rod.
An iron rod.
You know, a two-edged sword.
Two-edged sword.
Is his tongue.
Exactly. And everyone's going to bow. We're going to kneel willingly.
Whether you believe or not.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether you're a believer or not. Your knee will bend.
That's right.
To the name of Jesus.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I know that you're all at your homes and your homes are all decorated and you're getting ready for what you're going to do over the next couple of days for the Christmas feast, the Christmas, I hate to even use the word holiday, but the Christmas time, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it. But we really need to emphasize that because of this great event, you have the opportunity of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not about cute little babies in mangers with little animals and say, oh, how cute, and the snow falling around them and the angels mm-hmm. standing on top of the stable going, oh, isn't this nice? Mm-hmm. Like you see, and of course, if not many stores have that anymore, but that's another story. But you may have that in your house in your little manger nativity scene. But the important thing is that this is the Savior of the world. This mm-hmm. is your only way to be saved. This yeah. is your only means of salvation. This is your only way to get to heaven,
right?
Despite your sin, your failings, your shortcomings.
Mm-hmm.
And this birth of this Messiah, of the Messiah, this baby, is something that you have to take seriously. This is not a story. This is not some cute little story that you tell your kids like you would read them a fairy yeah. tale. This is serious, and you have to come to him because it is the only hope that you have of salvation, and this is what the whole Scripture is about.
Mm-hmm. You know, and as God said, I'm laying a foundation stone.
Yes.
There will be a stumbling block. And, you know, that stumbling block, to the Jews, was that, how could this be the Savior? How could this be the Messiah?
Exactly.
You know, but that stumbling block just isn't, you know, they're not the only ones that stumble over the stone that was the foundation stone that was laid. We too stumble
yes.
over that foundation stone.
Sure.
And that whole season of Advent has been a time to prepare your heart, to prepare mm-hmm. your home, not your physical home, but the home, you know, interiorly, the mm-hmm. home of your heart,
mm-hmm.
to make a place,
mm-hmm.
and to make a home that the Son of God can dwell within you.
Mm.
The Holy Spirit can dwell within you
yes.
to draw you closer
yeah.
and transform you into the person that God's created you to be.
And that you can become the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the whole essence, is that we are becoming temples of the Holy, that yes. we are, because the Holy Spirit, if we believe that the Holy Spirit's come upon us and we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God dwells within us.
Yes.
And we are a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And we have to treat ourselves as such.
Yes.
You know.
And this is the important message. We can teach Bible studies and you can do these things and these things are important, but mm-hmm. the basic message of salvation, there is nothing more important than that.
Yeah. No, nothing more important than that.
This is not a story that we read this time of year, and you know, as one person said to me years ago, that's always stuck in my mind. Everybody likes to see little baby Jesus and say, "Oh, how cute! What a yeah. cute little scene," but nobody wants to hear what he has to say when he grows up.
Yeah, that's yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that this baby grows up is the most important point in human history.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are not aware of that, if you don't submit yourself to that, he will come as a just judge.
Mm. Yes.
And the rod of iron is going to smash you in a way that isn't going to be pleasant.
Yeah. Yeah. So, wow. It's a sobering thought.
Yes.
Right before the birth of Christ, yes. as we celebrate the birth of Christ, yes. but it's a thought that we need to, I think, look at
yes,
as absolutely. We celebrate the birth of the Messiah.
Absolutely. And we want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas from Gift of Grace and Gift of Grace Ministries.
And we just hope that you celebrate the birth of the Messiah with joy and exaltation in your hearts, everyone. God bless. Amen. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.